With me and turn to 1 Samuel chapter 14. That's where we left off last week to see the journeys of Saul as the first king. And before we get started in Bible class, I asked Clay Sadler to lead our minds in prayer. Amen. Last week we looked at chapter 12 and 13 and we saw that Samuel had addressed the people to bring and make sure that no one had anything against him. No one had any complaints. He hadn't taken anything from him, that they had anything to hold against them. And then he tells them, since there's nothing against me, and you're moving forward, and we have a king, make sure we serve Jehovah. Also that your king should also follow and serve Jehovah, meaning Saul. And as Saul started, he was very humble and was listening to Samuel and listening and following God's words. Well, we then see a little crisis comes to bear. And the Philistines have raised up this huge army in chapter 13. And the Israelite army and the people that were going to fight became distressed and went running back to places to hide. And Saul was waiting for Samuel to come and bless them and so that they would have God behind them. And Saul waited a day? 7 days. Wow, that's a long time. I have to wait 7 days. Hey, he's running late. He's not going to be here. So I'm the king. What should I do? Make a decision, right? I'm going to make a decision. He's not here. I know that he's the only one who should be doing this. I know God's law says that only those of the Levitical priesthood can offer sacrifices to God. I'm just going to make a command decision. Was that a good decision? No. And then when Samuel gets there, just as he was concluding, right, it was 7 days, okay? I don't know if it was the seventh half day, if it was the eighth day. We really don't get the, it was 2 weeks. Samuel says, you should not have done that. He said, you should follow God's law and listen and obey to what he said. You should be patient because God is patient with us. Samuel was patient with Saul. Saul didn't seem to have that patience because why was he so concerned that he needed to do
name of the one was Bozez, and the name of the other was Sunem.
So we see that it was kind of hard to get up there, and they have then the high ground, you know, Garrison, I have the high ground so I can see all above me. And the young armor bearer said, you know, come let us go over to the garrison of these uncircumcised. Jehovah will work for us, and there is no restraint to Jehovah to save by many or by a few. Well, that shows the heart he has, right? Okay, I'm one guy, and I have an armor bearer, but I'm not sure exactly yet how many are up there. But whether it's we're many or whether we're few, God will be with us. That shows the strength of his faith. You think, you know, his dad should have some of that strength also, or some of those with him. Hey, 600 against a couple hundred thousand. I don't like those odds, but again, God's with you. Who can be against you? And then we see in verses 8 through 13 that Jonathan tells his armor bearer, okay, we're going to find out if God is with us. He's going to give us a sign. All right? We're going to show ourselves to this garrison, and if they tell us to do what? Come up to us, right? But he says, first says, if you tarry there, we'll come down to you. Okay, well, we know that God's not with us. But if they say, hey, go up, come up to us, then we know that God will deliver them into their hands. And of course, they reveal themselves. What do they say in verse number 12? Who would like to read verse 12 for me? Clay? And in verse 13, it says, and Jonathan climbed up upon his hands and upon his feet, and his armor-bearer after him, and they fell before Jonathan, and his armor-bearer slew them after him. So who showed who? Jonathan showed them a thing or so, right? Hey, we're going to show you something. Yeah, but remember, you only have swords. You only have shields. I come with Jehovah who's behind me. They didn't know that. But they are starting to learn that. And then after that, we see something unique happen. So Jonathan kills these 20 men in an area about a half an acre, it says. And does anybody have a verse other than half an acre in verse 14? It says, a half a furlong's length in an acre of land. So this area, about a half an acre, on verse 14, and they said, this is the turning point, right? This is a turning point. So Jonathan, one man, kills 20. But we know who delivered Jonathan, right? Jehovah. And we know from this point, when this starts, they have quite the mass of armament for the Philistines. They have chariots. They have archers. They have those that are foot soldiers by the score. But now what happens in this camp when they hear of these things? A fear, a panic, a terror, a trembling among the Philistines. In verse 15 it says. And what did the ground do? It shakes. You know, you're just feeling all of a sudden the ground starts shaking beneath you. Right. And what did that do to all these thousands of soldiers? Sheer panic, right? Sheer panic. And they started to go here and there, but what did they start doing? They started beating each other. They started attacking each other. Well, that was interesting that they started attacking each other, and they melted away, and they went from, American Standard says, hither and thither. Two terms we use a lot nowadays, right? Hither and thither.